They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Time hour here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Zoe and Beetle. There is no Zoe. There is no Beetle. Adam Jones and Christian Arcan here. Taking your phone calls 617-779-0985. You can hear Arcan singing along a little bit there. So Arcan,
harmonizing.
I was gonna bring you into the trust tree here for a moment. Since there's no Zoe and there's no Beetle, I was gonna ask you this. Maybe you just had a dead giveaway there with your singing along. But my question is, at what point does Josie turn into Sweet Caroline? Like, can we ask that? We're in the trust tree. There's Zoe's not here, Beatles not here. There's not even Louth or Tom Morgan here. At what point does Josie turn into Sweet Caroline?
All right. Well, two things. Number one, Josie's a better song, I think,
sure,
than Sweet Caroline.
But that's not really what this is about.
It's not really what it's about. The other thing about it is there's some similarities here that aren't very flattering. Sweet Caroline is about like a 13-year-old girl, right?
Right.
And the first words of this song is, my girlfriend's away, I'm going to hang out with this young girl now, like, because I like my girls a little bit older. Like, there's a little bit of that in here, too. And if you go back and listen to a lot of music from the 80s and you know, even the early 90s, there's a lot of really kind of pedophile-y lyrics in some of these. And that's one thing that comes out. So in terms of, like, is it going to be annoying like Sweet Caroline?
What else am I missing? What other songs am I missing?
She's Only 16. Like, there's, you know, a lot of, like, the hairband era. Like, Hardy would be better at this. This was like sort of before my time. But, like, a lot of hairband era rock was kind of centered around girls in high school. Like, that was, you know, kind of a big theme back in the day with, like, Winger and, you know, all those old, you know, hair bands and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just, I'm glad we've moved away from that over time. But it certainly started off that way. Anyway, in terms of, is it ever going to be as annoying as Sweet Caroline? I don't know. I think Sweet Caroline's just such a bad song and just so cheesy and whatever that you'll never quite get there. And also, Sweet Caroline, you got to wait through the whole first verse, and then you get to the chorus, and then blah, 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 blah. At least this one hits you, like, right away.
Yeah.
You know, you get to, I don't want to lose your love, like, right away in this song. So it's not as bad.
I'll say this. You know, it's, they at least do it right at Patriots games, unlike the Red Sox, where, like, if the Patriots are getting stomped, and not that that happens often, or like, something isn't exactly going the Patriots' way, it's not the right time to play it. They don't just shoehorn it in.
Right.
So, I mean, they at least have that right, but I feel like we're getting close. That's all I'm saying. I feel like we're getting close. If we're in the trust tree, I feel like we're getting a little close.
We're always in the trust tree, Jeff.
We are. So when does it turn into Sweet Caroline? That's what I want to know. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your feedback coming up. However, Arcan, you had a little update here from Steve Bulpet relates to Kyrie Irving.
Yesterday had a story in the Herald about Marcus Smart's deal and how it adds to the Celtics' stability, and he has a couple of interesting anecdotes about the Smart thing, but a little further down, and Lifshatz was tweeting about this morning, and a couple other people picked it up. He had a little piece on, in this Marcus Smart thing, he had a little piece on Kyrie Irving. And it says, and I quote here from Bulpet, only two players of major consequence not in the Celtics' control, under contract, or restricted free agents whose offers they can match, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, each have options to sever the final years of their deal, but the club is confident that things will work out with both. Three agents told the Herald that they fully expect Irving to opt out and leave next summer, but sources connected to the player reiterated in the last 2 days that while there are miles to go between now and the end of the coming season, the All-Star guard is quite pleased with his Celtic surroundings and has been talking about the future here beyond 2018-2019.
So three agents think he's going to opt out and leave.
Right.
Sources close to him think he's going to stay.
Or that he's pleased here.
And the Celtics are confident that he's going to stay. Maybe that's the better way to phrase it. He's pleased. The Celtics are confident they're going to keep him. However, agents believe he's going to opt out and ultimately leave. Three agents believe he's going to opt out and leave.
By the way, I believe Lifshatz got a subliminal shout out here, because right after that, Bulpet says, there was as well a report from a generally credible radio source stating that the club had offered Irving to San Antonio in recent trade talks for Kawhi Leonard, but sources from both clubs stated adamantly that that was never the case.
I
believe the generally credible radio source is Dan Lifshatz.
I think it's Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, really?
Right? McCone, you think that's Jay Stu? That sounds like a Jay Stu.
Did Jay Stu say that? If he did, I apologize. But yeah. I thought it was a Lifshitz thing.
Generally credible.
Generally credible.
Well, I'll take that. That's good.
Put that on
that
my
sounds legit.
Put that on my tombstone. Generally credible.
Generally credible what? Radio personality?
Radio source.
Radio source.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd like to be generally credible. Well, if you were gonna put a qualifier on my credibility, Arcan, what would that be?
Generally
credible. That's much too much.
Jones credible? Yeah, generally.
once in a blue moon, credible. How do you quantify that?
He has
one?
His moments. Moments of credibility.
He's had his moments of credibility. I like that. An individual has had his moments of credibility.
Hmm.
So anyway, so I would just file this under. It's three agents believe one thing, but the Celtics believe another, and Kyrie is sending them positive signals. Like, whatever. Okay. Who are these three agents? What's their agenda? Are they three out of how many agents in the league? So, like, am I freaking out about this individual report? No. Do I think we should be freaking out about the totality of reports about Kyrie Irving and how he's not sold on staying in Boston? Yeah. Yeah. Chris Mannix says, how exactly did Chris Mannix phrase it? Weeks ago, you know, they should be scared about Kyrie Irving leaving. You know, enough credible people, not generally credible people now, have weighed in on this and seem to think that there's a real chance Kyrie Irving leaves. And again, the more of these we get from Bulpet and others, the more I think your antenna should go up. And maybe Marcus Smart does tie into all of this. You know, I don't exactly think he's the right replacement for Kyrie Irving long term, but maybe that is part of the thinking. I disagree with the thinking, but maybe that's part of their consideration.
Well, yeah. If the Celtics thought that Kyrie Irving was definitely coming back and were over the top confident, why would they offer him up in a Kawhi Leonard trade? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Why would you give up someone that you thought you were going to bring back for Kawhi Leonard, who just set out the year and you weren't guaranteed to come back and re-sign, especially in a position that you already have pretty well covered?
Here's an answer to that. Who is a better player?
Kawhi is, but when you look at like the way the Celtics are built right now, I would say that Kyrie Irving's probably more valuable this roster than Kawhi Leonard.
I happen to agree with that, but maybe Danny doesn't, right? Like, I happen to agree that Kyrie Irving is a better fit for what they have right now. They have Hayward, they have Brown, they have Tatum, they have their wings. So I don't know that you need another wing in Kawhi, but maybe Danny just looks at it more binary and says, better player. I can get a better player, same term. I want the better player. Maybe there's your reason.
Well, yeah, but would you give up Kyrie Irving, who you thought you would be able to bring back and re-sign for Kawhi Leonard, even though he was better, you're not sure that he could come back after a year?
Because Kawhi is a total wild card.
Yeah.
Good point. Great point. Why are they offering him up if they're confident he'll return? Well, meanwhile, you have no idea about Kawhi.
Exactly.
You barely even met the guy.
Right.
Or I say you barely met the guy. He's never played for your organization.
Yeah.
Fair point. So you're skeptical that the Celtics are confident he'll return.
If they offer that trade up to San Antonio, I think that tells you that
a generally credible radio source said that.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that it happened. Then, yeah, I think that there's serious doubts in the Celtics organization that they'll be able to bring him back.
I think they have. How can you trust Kyrie?
Exactly.
Like, based on everything Kyrie's done, how do you trust Kyrie in his career? You know, with the way that he wormed his way out of Cleveland. I happen to agree with the way he left Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be left holding the bag in Cleveland without LeBron. LeBron was obviously leaving, but like, he orchestrated his way out of Cleveland. Okay. He switched high schools before. He gave up on Duke quickly, who he committed to. Like, I don't know.
Gave up or got drafted first overall. I mean, that's not necessarily giving up on Duke. That's what you do.
You
get drafted
Duke,
first overall, you go.
You commit to Duke, you're there for 9 games, you're gone. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of leaving in the lurch would be my point. There's a lot of abandoning things. Whether, if you don't agree with Duke, then don't agree with Duke. He left Cleveland, he left his high school. So, I don't know. There's a lot of leaving with Kyrie Irving. What the hell makes you think he's going to stay?
Yeah, I mean, there's no real reason to think that other than we all think this is a great situation because we're Celtics fans and we look at this and think, wow, the future's really bright here. You got these two budding superstars. You got a great coach. You got a great fan base. You got all this history. You have all these things that every time there's a free agent or, you know, a potential trade, Celtics fans all call in and say, wow, why wouldn't they want to come here? You got this, 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 and this. And that's true. All of that's right. But you can't, I mean, it's tough to get into the mind of Kyrie Irving, I think, is sort of a pointless exercise because that guy's not he's sort of an unusual fellow. Like, he doesn't think of everything, you know, the same way that you or I might, or he may just really want to go to the Knicks, or he really wants to play in the tri-state area or something along those lines. And you can't convince him otherwise, no matter how good your situation is here in Boston. And that's sort of what it sounds like.
I mean, if you're Danny Ainge, you need to listen to 5 minutes of that podcast with Bill Simmons, and I would be absolutely terrified that Kyrie Irving's going to leave. I mean, he mentioned stuff like wanting to play with a bunch of different players, see different places. It's just, there's no way you could be confident.
Well, he's motivated solely by basketball and winning championships. I don't know if you heard that, Arkan. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's filming his own movie. He's singing the lead track on that film. But all he cares about is winning basketball games and winning championships. So I don't know. You should be satisfied by that, shouldn't you?
Song's a banger, so what do you want from me?
I was not a huge fan of that song. Not a huge fan of that. But you're better than
Sweet Caroline.
You have more of the hip-hop tape. It might be moving past Josie, I'll tell you that, any day now. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your feedback. I want to get back into Marcus Smart. How does he tie into everything related to Kyrie and the latest from Steve Bullpet? We can do that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Adam Jones and Christian Arkan with you until 2 o'clock. It's a Friday. No Zoe, no Beetle. We're taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Lot to get to here this hour. We spent some time talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and his date, a lovely lady named, what was her name again, Arkan?
Kiara Mia.
Kiara Mia. Lovely lady. It looked like they had a nice night out on the town.
They really did look like they had a nice time.
Lovely couple, I think. There's a bit of an update as it comes to their night that they had, their little date night. So we'll get you the update on that. I want to get to Gordon Hayward as well, who was available to the media last night and just proved how much of a dork he, like an unbelievable gamer dork that Gordon Hayward, like he puts David Price to shame when it comes to the gaming. And I'm surprised he hasn't given himself carpal tunnel yet. When he's had to miss out on a game, I'm surprised that isn't Gordon Hayward. Like, are we sure Gordon Hayward injured his foot last year? Was it somehow related to a video game injury? I'm starting to wonder now. So we'll get to Gordon Hayward coming up. We'll get to Jimmy Garoppolo coming up. Just quickly, on the Kyrie Irving discussion that we were having, Boston Herald, Steve Bullpet, says that from the people he's talked to,
three agents,
the Celtics are pretty confident that Kyrie will be back. Kyrie has been pretty happy with how things have gone in Boston, but there are three agents, as Arkan just told you, three agents that believe that Kyrie is going to opt out and leave at the end of the year. And I would not say I'm freaking out at that report, but I think the totality of the reports about Kyrie should have your antenna up, and you should be wondering if he's going to stay. I was already wondering it before that report, and I wonder even more after that report from Steve Bullpet. So again, how does Marcus Smart tie into all of this? I'm not really sure he does. Like, I think he's much more connected to Terry Rozier than he is to Kyrie Irving. And again, I think they've overpaid for Marcus Smart. I've said this a couple of times. They're paying him more to do less. You're giving him $13 million a year. He's not even going to play in crunch time. Tell me who you're going to sit down if Marcus Smart is going to play in crunch time this year. So you're paying him more to do less. Is he your point guard of the future? I don't think so. I don't really think he's a starter. Not on a good team. Not on a first division team, if you will, if you want to use the baseball analogy. Not on a championship level team. I don't think he is.
Barring a major, major leap for him offensively. I mean, I'm talking like completely transforming his game.
Barring something that he's never done before.
Yeah.
If he shows up a different player, then he shows up a different player.
And he's still a young player in the NBA, too. I mean, it's not like his career's over. Yes, he is. I mean, he is.
What is he?
Mid-20s? 24, 25. I mean, yeah. 24 years old. It's not like he's over the hill.
No, he's not. He's not over the hill, but he's pretty much developed, I would say. Mm. Like at this point, you're what you are is pretty much what you are. You're
24 years old,
4 or 5 years in the league. Yeah,
people develop jump shots. You know, I mean, it's not like he'd be the first.
I mean, some do, but they don't usually start this poorly. Like some figure it out, but like Jaylen Brown had some issues with his jump shot. He figured it out by year two.
Like, well, Marcus Smart's not Jaylen Brown.
No, but I'm just saying, like, who figures it out? Like, you know, who were this bad? Who who are absolute bricklayers like Marcus Smart.
Jason Kidd figured out how to shoot later in his career.
Kind of. He figured out how to knock down some corner threes. He was never a great shooter.
Never great, but wouldn't you like Marcus Smart to be able to do that?
He made a lot of threes in his career. Never really had a great percentage, although maybe I got to double check Jason Kidd and his percentages late in his career. But I never thought he actually shot it at that great of a percentage. He just hit a huge volume of threes over the course of his career. So, yeah, I mean, sure. But you said before he's not Jaylen Brown. So what, he's Jason Kidd now?
No, I mean,
he's a Jason Hall of Fame. Well, okay, well,
but
then.
Jason Kidd didn't have that element of his game, and he developed it, is what I'm saying. Jaylen Brown already sort of had it, I think, wired into his overall makeup as a player.
So Kidd
way.
Had some better years than I thought. He had a couple of years over 40 late in his career, but then he plummeted again later. He was mostly a mid-30s three-point shooter, which you would love to see Marcus Smart get to a consistent 35%, 36% three-point shooter. So again, if he does that, great. But I don't anticipate him doing that. But if he does it, maybe. The actual heir apparent at point guard is Terry Rozier, but maybe they're worried about losing Rozier too. So I think Smart has more of a tie-in, more of a connection when it comes to the future of Terry Rozier than Kyrie Irving. And again, I don't know why the Celtics are freaking out at that position specifically. I said this earlier, Arkan. If you're worried about the next point guard of the Celtics, let me present to you the following evidence. Jordan Crawford, Evan Turner, Isaiah Thomas, even Shane Larkin, when he's had to plug in there. Hell, Terry Rozier came in and looked like Kyrie Irving light in the postseason, at least against the Milwaukee Bucks. So add Rozier to that list as well. Pretty much anyone they roll out at that spot has been adequate to quite good. So why are we so worried about the next point guard? I have a feeling they'll be able to find him, and I have a feeling they'll be pretty good no matter who you roll out
there. Yeah, I would think so. And there's other options. I mean, again, a scoring point guard, not exactly rare in today's NBA. Just about every single team has one. Now, obviously, there's tiers to it. Kyrie's in the top tier, and you know, Dame Lillard and Steph Curry and Chris Paul and some of those guys, they're all in the top. But, you know, Brad Stevens, he can make it work with someone not in that top tier. I'm very confident of that. And also, you know, we keep talking about what this team's going to look like next season and what the offense is going to look like. I trust Brad Stevens to be able to run an offense and maximize the talents of all of these people. I think he'd be able to do that with a Terry Rozier type of point guard and the rest of that starting five. You know, with Brown, Tatum, Hayward, and Horford all out there, Rozier or a player of that, you know, magnitude, especially if you, like I do, anticipate big leaps being made by Tatum in his sophomore year, Brown in his third year, and of course Hayward coming back trying to show everybody he can still play. You know, is Kyrie Irving a necessity in the same way that he would have been last year in the playoffs with no Hayward and a developing Brown and Tatum? No, different scenario. So right. I think that could be part of the thinking too.
I mean, look, he's your best player, so I'd hope that he's still a key cog. And I still wonder how all the wings are going to fit together. Like, you can definitely play them all. You can play Hayward and Brown and Tatum. You can definitely absolutely play them all on the floor at the same time. But one of those guys, maybe two of those guys, have to sacrifice. You're not going to get the shots you want. You're not going to be the second or third option necessarily. You may not get the defensive assignment you want, whether that's an easier one or a more difficult one. Like, I still wonder how they get all of those three to work. So there's still things to work out for the Celtics for sure. Never mind if guys start having to sit in crunch time for Marcus freaking Smart, someone like Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or Gordon Hayward or Kyrie Irving. But again, I'm not quite sure why you have to overpay. It's not like you're getting Smart on a deal. Why do you have to overpay? You already have the point guard of the future. That's Rozier. And you've already been successful no matter who you've plugged into that point guard spot. So overpaying Smart doesn't quite seem to tie to Kyrie Irving to me. 617-779-0985. And if that's what Ainge is doing, I think that's a mistake. Dave is in Worcester. What's up?
Oh, it gets better each time. Every time, oh man, I cannot get enough of this.
Yeah, Dave in Worcester, you can call
just
back.
Put it right in my veins.
That's got to be the eighth or ninth person I've hung up on now in the last day and a half.
Oh man,
it's like I do it and then I'm like, Jones, you absolute moron. How about Peter in Jamaica Plain? Go ahead, Peter.
Did I get hung up on, or am I on?
No,
the
you're on. No, Peter. You're there, Peter. For now.
Oh, great. Well, put me in a check column for Marcus Smart. I love it. But the reason I called is I'm not afraid of losing Kyrie Irving at all. Because when you're losing Kyrie Irving, you're saving $180 million. And I'd rather put that toward the studs on the team who's going to be our future, which is Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And, I mean, Kyrie, a long time, I doubt he's going to be healthy by the end of the season. But I'm not scared of losing him in the slightest.
Isn't it amazing how much fans, once they actually get talent here, how much they just completely and totally don't appreciate it?
Mm.
It's like, yeah, I want to pay Brown and you have the real McCoy superstar right there in front of your face.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Kyrie Irving is a top five player. He might not even be a top 10 player in the league. I think he's knocking on the door a top 10, right? You can call him a top 10 if you want. And fans just look at that and they're like, no, pay Brown, pay Tatum, don't pay this guy. If it's health issues, then fine. But I don't know. That's incredible to me. You finally have a guy. And you're like, yeah, let's pay the next guy. You're excited about the next guy. And by the way, they can pay all of them. They can pay every single one.
They can if they want to, yeah.
Of course they can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of how deep into the luxury tax Wick wants to go. But there's a way to do it. The Celtics have done it before. They've gone deep into the luxury tax to keep talent. And can you pay all five at some point? Probably not. But by the time you got to pay Brown and by the time you got to pay Tatum, Horford is coming off the books. And, you know, I don't think the guy to get rid of is Kyrie. I would skew more towards, I mean, Horford's a no-brainer. I would skew more towards getting rid of Hayward before I got to Kyrie.
Yeah, I would probably think that way too. And even with the optics of it, I know a lot of people say, "Oh, how can you do that? How can you do that to Gordon Hayward?" It's a business, you know. I mean, when there was talk about the Celtics getting LeBron or Kawhi Leonard or, you know, one of those like legit top five players, and people were saying, "Well, you can't trade Gordon Hayward." I just thought, "What are you talking about? Of course you can." You know what? Oh, it's going to send a bad message. You're getting LeBron James. You're getting Kawhi Leonard. You're getting one of the best players in the NBA, which, sorry, Gordon Hayward, you're just not that right now. Maybe you will be at some point, but, you know, you were on that track, maybe, but that's the breaks. You know, that's the way this thing goes. It's a business, and Danny Ainge almost always treats it that way, as in feelings aren't necessarily a big, big issue for him.
Well,
it's mostly about, you know, running things the right way. And now here we go with Marcus Smart.
I was going to say, except this guy.
Yeah.
Except Marcus Smart.
It's a very big sort of swerve away from what Danny Ainge is want to do.
And look, normally that's where you get into trouble, right?
Yeah.
You let your feelings get in the way. And with Smart, there's another layer to it, right? Because of what's going on with his mother, what's going on in his personal life. So I get that. But, you know, as sad as that is that a reason to overpay for him? And if you let your feelings get in the way, that's usually where you make a mistake. And Marcus Smart is a mistake. And it feels like feelings got in the way. And if he's just a placeholder for a bigger deal, then fine. If and when that happens, then great. Congratulations. Danny knocked it out of the park again. Playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. But in the meantime, I am curious about whether or not that was the actual end game. 617-779-0985. We'll keep taking your phone calls if I don't hang up on you. We're closing in on double digits between last night and today of how many people I've hung up on this program. So hang tight. Hopefully I don't hang up on you. We'll get to you after Hub headlines here from Tim McCone. And I do want to get to the latest on Jimmy Garoppolo, too. Let's mix that in with all your thoughts next. 617-779-0985. And if that's what Ainge is doing, I think that's a mistake. Dave is in Worcester. What's up?
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, the Red Sox finally back from the All-Star break, back in action tonight as they visit the Detroit Tigers. David Price gets the start for Boston. Detroit can encounter with Matthew Boyd. First pitch is at 7:10. Red Sox have also made a roster move today, activating Andrew Benintendi from the bereavement list. They've optioned Sam Travis back to Pawtucket. Jerry Krasnick reporting to the Orioles. Now that they've traded Manny Machado, are focused on dealing Zach Britton. Cubs, Giants, Astros, Phillies, Yankees, and Red Sox are all in the mix for Britton. NFL reports out that Julian Edelman will not appeal his suspension in the court system, so he will accept those four games. Edelman set to miss the Texans, Jaguars, Lions, and Dolphins games to start the year. Ian Rappaport tweeting out this afternoon that Jets wide receiver Adarius Stewart is facing a two-game suspension for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing substances. Round two of the Open is underway in Scotland. Kevin Kisner atop the leaderboard at 8-under right now. He's 3-under through 17 on the day. Tiger Woods is even for the tournament. Finished today. Even looks like he will make the cut. Sports of Headlines brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Host your next event at Apex Entertainment Center. 80,000 square feet of pure fun. ApexEntertainmentCenter.com. I'm Tim McCone of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5. The Sports Up. Your next update, 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, The Sports Up.
on the Sports Hub. Adam Jones and Christian Arcan. We can get to the latest on Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, what a story. Jimmy Garoppolo, just a lovely little date night. Taking out a lovely little lady. Trying to just, you know, have a night out on the town, be the gentleman that he is. And next thing you know, it's really turned into a story.
It really has.
It really, really has. So we'll get to that coming up. But first, I want to go back to the phones. Let's go to Dave, who as an idiot I hung up on earlier. This is Dave in Worcester. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, no problem there. I was feeling unloved for a second, but I guess I can get over it. anyway, I'm an Islander fan, so you can see where this is going to go. If any Green Teamer trusts Kyrie Irving after John Tavares pretty much held off the team saying he didn't want to be traded and all that, you're crazy. Kyrie has a plan in his head, and only Kyrie knows what it's going to be because, you know, get something for him at the trade deadline or even before. Otherwise,
Dave, and it's a good analogy. Tavares.
I don't think it's a good analogy.
I do. Did Tavares ever really commit to the Islanders?
No. He kept telling them. You know, he kept saying to the press and saying to the beat reporters when they asked me where I'm from Long Island. Then when he wrote the stupid letter to the Islander fans, you know, a week after his PR went down the tubes, he said when people ask me where I'm from Toronto. He didn't want to discuss an extension at any time. And then finally he decided, you know, it was the worst kept secret in hockey. Everyone said he was going to go home to Toronto. So I doubt that he waited to the last second. So if someone has been on a team for 9 years is going to do something like that, someone who's a little bit flaky like Kyrie, regardless of his talent, you know, he's been on the team, 9 minutes?
So here's where the analogy holds up. Tavares, to my knowledge, and I didn't follow that as closely as we followed Kyrie, you can't fully commit unless you stay somewhere, right? Or unless you really want to stay there, and he obviously didn't. And Kyrie hasn't fully committed here. And, you know, furthermore, it's the same thing. Like, Tavares could have signed an extension. I mean, Kyrie could sign an extension. It may not be the most fiscally responsible thing, but all you got to do is say, hey,
no,
you know,
it'd be stupid.
Right now, right, but that's all he's going to say, Christian, if you let me finish. I don't need to do that right now. It's not fiscally responsible to do it right now, but it's a foregone conclusion. We're going to do it next offseason. Like, it's all you got to do. It's not that hard. If you really want to stay, it's not that hard. And it's not that hard for Tavares either. Yeah, I want to be Islander for life. If you really want to stay, you say stuff like that. If you want to leave, then you couch it and you kind of worm your way around it. Kyrie seems very similar to Tavares in that regard. And it just hammers home my point, which is probably why I like it, that Tavares was acting like an NBA superstar the whole time.
Right.
And acting like an NBA diva the whole time, which is exactly how Tavares was acting.
Yes. In all those ways, I agree. I think the analogy holds up there. Where it falls apart for me, the Islanders suck. The Islanders are a terrible organization. They were so bad, they could not get anything around Tavares to make him want to stay. They had no future. They had nothing. They just had him. That was it. And the few times they made it to the playoffs, it was embarrassing how quickly they got eliminated. I think that looking at the different, you know, scenarios and the places where these players are, of course, John Tavares has been in with the Islanders all these years, and they can't do anything. Kyrie Irving's been with the Celtics for 1 year. They won 16 games in a row. They were, you know, one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. He goes down with an injury and they still make it to the conference finals. That's a place you want to be, isn't
it? Well, I don't know. That if you want to win, maybe.
If you want to win, sure. I mean, if that's the motivating factor.
Are we sold that that's the motivating factor?
I'm about 50-50.
Yeah, that's a no. Yeah, you're not sold. I'm not sold either. I'm not sold that that's his motivating factor. If you want to win, it's a great place to be. If you want to make movies and drop rap singles and be a bigger superstar, it's not the greatest place in the world to be. There are better places. So what motivates him? I think that's a fair question with Kyrie Irving. 617-779-0985. You got the latest on Jimmy Garoppolo and his little outing the other night with what's her name? Kiara Mia?
Kiara Mia. I believe that's not her government name, but I'm not positive.
I wouldn't look it up too much of it. These are work computers, so I'd be dangerous about going too deeply in that direction.
Right.
But yeah, what's the latest on the two?
Get Brian Beasley on the phone. Hey, you get to hang up on him.
What's the latest on these
the
two?
Latest is
these two little lovebirds.
This is according to Therese Owens, which I know it's Therese Owens, but usually they don't just make stuff up out of thin air. Therese Owens is reporting that the pornography company Cam Soda, which I'm actually not familiar with, is trying to get all of the details from Kiara Mia about her date with Jimmy Garoppolo. In fact, she was reached out to by Cam Soda's VP, whose name is Darren Parker. And the actual letter was printed here on online. Would you like to hear what they offer?
I would to pull a was it Orsillo or was it Dave O'Brien with Dick Flavin? I would love to hear it.
Okay.
Yes, I would love to hear that.
I'd love to read this as a poem, but I can't now. All right, here it is. Dear Mrs. Kiara Mia, I wanted to reach out following the news that you went on a formal dinner date with famed San Francisco 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and extend a potentially lucrative offer. Go on. I would like to extend to you an offer to participate in an hour-long Q&A session on our platform, broadcast live to our millions of fans around the world. During the session, you would field questions about your date with Jimmy. Questions ranging from what you ordered at the restaurant.
Nice.
To how big or small Jimmy's Jimmy is.
Real nice.
To how accurate he is off the field, etc.
Kind of gross.
A little bit, yeah.
That one, TMI there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I was on board with Jimmy's Jimmy. Everything, like, come on, TMI.
Yeah, the accuracy, I mean, that's okay. In return for your participation, we will compensate you up to $100,000. Nice work if you can get it, which for sure would go a long way towards buying a new outfit for date number two. Pardon me for assuming there will be a second date, but your Instagram story seemed to paint a rather pleasant picture that would lead one to assume a subsequent date.
Yeah.
If interested in our offer, we can flesh out the specifics of the Q&A session, including a specific day and a specific time. I look forward to hearing back from you. All our best, Darren Parker, VP Cam Soda.
Okay. Yo, Jimmy, here. Like, now what? Now, don't you, like, almost have to go on the second date now? Now you're stuck. Now she's got you over a barrel. Now don't you have to go on the second date now?
Yeah.
Or else if you're telling her you don't ever want to see her again, what's the harm in her doing this Q&A? So like now Jimmy, now
James.
Now all that James Garoppolo. Now everything's going to be out there. Now you're stuck. Smart.
I got to tell you.
Smart woman. Just like a woman, isn't it, Arcan?
It really
just like a woman. She's got her hooks in them. She's got her hooks in them. Here's the leverage now. Oh, you don't want to take me out on a second date. Well, maybe I should talk to, who is this again? Cam Soda?
Cam Soda.
They seem like nice people over there. Maybe instead of going on our second date, James, maybe I'll just talk to Cam Soda. We can talk about all the things they'd like to do. Hour-long Q&A where I get $100,000 on the side. Just like a woman, Arcan. Just like him. Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't want to go on a second date with me. Okay.
That's interesting.
I guess I'll just do this little interview over here, Jimmy, where we talk about all sorts of interesting things. How's that sound to you, Jimmy?
Yeah. Yeah, By the way,
okay, fine. We'll go on a second date. Okay,
she could do the thing anyway and just say, hey, you want me to say good things about you in this interview? I'm doing the interview no matter what. You better take me on a second date. Otherwise, I'm going to tell everybody you got a little Jimmy, you know, something like that.
Yep. Maybe he's okay. Maybe he's okay with her doing the interview.
Could be.
Maybe.
I'll say this. I would not like that comparison. A 41-year-old porn star comparing my Jimmy with all the Jimmy she's seen in her life? I mean, I
got to be honest. It doesn't matter who she's comparing it to. I'm not going to fare well. In that regard, I don't need to be compared to anyone, quite frankly. I know where I stand with that. 617-779-0985. We can get to all your feedback coming up on Kyrie Irving, the Celtics, Marcus Smart, all that good stuff. And let's get to number one nerd, Gordon Hayward, coming up next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 1 o'clock, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Zoe and Beetle. Mark Bertrand out, Scott Zolak out. It's a night show takeover here during the day. Adam Jones and Christian Arcan with you until 2 o'clock. We'll be taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We can get back into Marcus Smart and why I think the Celtics made a mistake. I mean, they obviously overpaid, but why I think they made a mistake. He's not going to be out there making winning plays in crunch time. One, because he never really did that in the first place. I always think that's overblown. But he's not even going to be on the floor at the end of some of these games. And I'll explain that coming up. Meanwhile, we touched very briefly on Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think it was a nice little date he went on the other night.
Wholesome. Yeah, sure.
Took her out to a nice fish dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I think they spent, I would imagine, you know, the better part of the evening chatting away, gazing into each other's eyes deeply, kind of talking about, you know, things they have in common, things they don't, kind of laughing at, you know, innocuous little jokes, you know, as couples do.
Then they went to Midnight Mash.
Right, exactly. You go to a nice late midnight mass.
You ever been on a date with someone who was like not like much older or younger than you, but like enough that like your references sort of go over each other's heads and stuff like that? Because that's the worst.
No.
That's brutal.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is.
I'm not much of a date guy, Arcand. I you know, you want to talk about sinking your hooks in. Anytime I could find a date, I was taking what I could get. But yeah, I don't know, not too much.
I bet
outside
they were sitting
of my
there,
age range.
She's making like, you know, Saved by the Bell references, and Jimmy's like, I don't know, the show was all off the air before I was born, you know, stuff like that. It's just, that's the worst. I hate when that happens. You know, you make a reference to an old movie or an old band or something, and she's sitting across the table from you like, I don't know who that is, and it's just like, oh god.
Yeah. So
why
anyway,
is my life like this?
That could be a little bit what how the date went. You know, maybe there was some cross-referencing. I'm not quite sure.
Well, all we know is that the scrunchie came on. The scrunchie came off the wrist and onto the hair.
Why do you think that was? Maybe she was a nice midnight workout. You think she's going to go hit the
treadmill? There was a midnight workout, all right.
I think she's going to go getting a run on the treadmill would be my guess. You think that was the case?
Something got run.
Maybe something went down the garbage disposal. Next thing you know, she said, I don't want to get my hair caught in the garbage disposal. Got to fish. I'd imagine that's why the scrunchie went up, right?
Sure.
I couldn't think of anything else. Anyway, so we touched on Garoppolo very briefly, 617-779-0985. The lovely, lovely date that he went on the other night, and now this this young woman, what's her name again?
Kiara Mia.
She now,
I love how he keeps asking, like he doesn't know, like he doesn't watch her videos.
Kiara Mia, like what's her real name? What's her legal name there, Kiara Mia? So she now has this offer, this standing offer for $100K to go do this this Q&A. With some company, Cam Soda. So she has a standing offer to do that.
Which doesn't sound like a porn company, by the way.
No,
Cam Soda
sounds like something
very different.
But now all of Jimmy Garoppolo's great secrets can be outed. So now you're on the hook for a second date. Mm. Nice job, Jimmy G. Nice job. Now you're on the hook for a second date. Either that, or all your worst fears are going to be out there for everyone to be dissected and discussed. Meanwhile, I don't think that Gordon Hayward necessarily has a lot of worse fears being dissected and discussed when it comes to his gaming habits. He actually seems quite proud of it.
Yeah.
In fact, he was at an event last night to promote the release of one of the Call of Duties, I think. One of the newest Call of Duties out there. So he had a little sit down on the Celtics Talk podcast with A. Sherrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston. And they say, you know how these things work. When you're at an event, usually you gotta plug the event. So they kind of started off with a little video game talk. Gordon Hayward talking a little shop, video games wise. And you knew he was kind of a gaming dork. Like, I don't know if it's quite to the levels of David Price, or I guess I wasn't sure, but it turns out it's way past the levels of David Price. Like, past.
This is like esports level.
The levels of David Price. Yeah. So again, give a little listen to A. Sherrod Blakely sitting down with giant nerd Gordon Hayward.
We're here with Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics. And Gordon, we know you're a big-time gamer. What is it like having an opportunity like this to partake in something like Black Ops 4 Preview and your work with Xfinity?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a one-of-a-kind experience to be able to play with Call of Duty before everyone else, a franchise that's been around since I can remember, you know, growing up playing games like this.
And your teammates, I mean, you guys are all relatively young. Now, are you the best gamer on the squad? And if you are, who's the stiffest competition?
I'm pretty confident I'm the best gamer. I play a lot of games on PC, though. Everyone else I call casual gamers. They play on consoles. But I do know that Shemmy's pretty good. Nader was pretty good. Just about everyone these days plays some sort of video games. We're all, you know, a little bit younger generation, but none of them play on PC. They can't handle me on PC.
You can't handle me.
None of them can handle me on my console. It seems like they all play on their consoles.
I call casual gamers. They play on consoles.
They're kind of a casual gamer. They play on their console. I'm playing on my PC.
Like, what a dork. Like, that's the level of nerdiness that he's at. He's like chastising people for playing on PS4 is what he's doing, Arcan. Like,
I am the mightiest dwarf in Azeroth.
Like, what? This is what he's doing now?
Yeah, I call them casual gamers. They play on a console. Like, he's like looking down their nose at playing on a PS4 or a, what did you call it last? Is it Xbox One? Is the newest Xbox? Xbox One? He's like, yeah, these guys, they don't even know how to play it right. The graphics aren't quite right. It's a little too glitchy. The gameplay, the speed of the gameplay just isn't there. They play on their console. So that was eye-opening to me.
Cal cast arcane missile.
And like, think about this for a second. I referenced David Price earlier. If you think David Price is spending too much time playing video games, what the hell do you think that dork is doing?
I mean, it sounds like this is his other real thing in life. I mean, clearly he saw the gender reveal. It looked like Gordon Hayward was like, I just need to get back inside and start playing more video games because I'm gonna have another girl in this house. But this is like esports. Remember when Toucher and Rich had those esports guys in there?
Yes.
And they came and they went down to Boston. They were at the greatest bar and the whole place was decked out for that whole esports thing. Like, that's the level he's at. Like, he's not just a guy who plays a lot of video games. This is a guy whose life is very much anchored in the idea of playing these games, to the point where he's, you know, I mean, he's showing up at these debut. He's part of a gamer league. I mean, he's really in this, man. Like, he's committed to this.
So, I don't know. I feel like that's worth following with it. Like, it's fun to just kind of poke fun at him, but I feel like that's worth following. Like, if we're going to get on David Price for spending too much time and nerding out, what do we think this guy's doing? Like, this guy is putting David Price and his 4 or 5 hours of Fortnite to shame. This guy's playing until his eyes bleed. Forget about carpal tunnel. He's ruining his vision. His eyes are going to be bleeding all over the place with how much he's playing on, by the way, not on a console. No.
Come on.
He doesn't play on a console.
Call those casual gamers.
Your Xbox One, you casual gamer
losers.
No, that's not what you are. He is playing on a PC. He's not going to play on a console. That's a casual gamer. So that, again, is Gordon Hayward.
On the outside world, I'm just Gordon Hayward, a simple basketball player. But in here, I am Valcorn, defender of the Alliance.
So that, again, is Gordon Hayward, your big splashy free agent. That teacher's pet, Gordon Hayward, just playing video games till his eyes bleed. And we'll see. I am curious how he fits in, and I want to monitor that throughout the course of the year. 617-779-0985. Tim McCone has all the latest in your Hub headlines, and we're right back with a few thoughts on Marcus Smart.
None of them play on PC. They can't handle me on PC.